Jaguars postgame is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by EverBank. Jaguars postgame starts right now.
Welcome in, Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will join us shortly. Let's go outside the Jaguars locker room. The first word with head coach Doug Marrone after an unbelievable overtime win, 20-17. Jeff Lagerman is with the head coach.
Thank you, J.P. Doug, the people that were here, they certainly got their money's worth. What a crazy game and what a way that your defense responded time after time at the end of that ball game.
Well, they did. They really stepped up, and they made some obviously some outstanding plays, and obviously, you know, obviously some plays earlier on. You know, we know that we can do a better job, you know, during the course of the game. But you know, they came up big when we needed them to. They created an opportunity for us, and then you know, then we started driving the ball in overtime, and then you know, we had to wind up with a punt, which I thought, you know, we were nervous after we lost our snapper, and I thought that Tommy Bohannon came in and did a heck of a job, and so did Tyler Shatley. That's not easy to do. And, you know, we wound up holding them. We got the turnover finally, you know, something that, you know, has been missing a little bit. It was a big-time turnover. But we still got to make sure that we improve on some of the penalties that we're getting, you know, after the fact, after the play. That's going to cost us down the road.
Certainly a challenging game. The San Diego Chargers defense did a really good job kind of bottling up the run. And in the second half, Blake was outstanding on that one drive. Holy cow, I think he threw it all 11 plays, in which you end up converting the two-point conversion. And then later on, Blake kind of struggled a little bit, but you guys were able to overcome that.
Yeah, we were. We were able to overcome it. And, you know, when everyone will look towards him struggling, and I'm not going to say that he didn't struggle, you know, with some of the decision-making, obviously, with the interception. But, you know, he was under constant pressure. You know, credit to that defensive line. We wound up, you know, we took Pat out. You know, he wasn't able to keep going. And we put Chatley in there. And obviously, Wells came in for Parnell. So we were kind of just, you know, patching up that offensive line. Those guys, you know, did a good job of fighting their ass off against, you know, very good, outstanding football players.
Phillip Rivers has come into this game with obviously incredible stats, not only the number of wins that he was able to pull off consecutively against this football team. It has to feel good not only to get a win against Phillip Rivers, but also it's an AFC opponent and it takes your football team to 6-3.
Well, you know, we're concentrating on the third quarter, you know, and starting off the third quarter the right way with a win, you know, and that's what our focus has been on. Obviously, you know, Phillip Rivers is an outstanding, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, you can see what they were doing early on. They were just kind of giving him the leeway, just getting in there and figuring out, you know, what we were doing defensively and then, you know, picking the, you know, the plays that, you know, would take the biggest advantage, you know, on our defense. And, you know, we were trying to hold some of the looks, you know, to keep them guessing a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a cat and mouse game. And, you know, we were fortunate to come on the winning end.
On the kick that won the game, was it partially blocked? It wasn't exactly the prettiest of kicks. I couldn't quite tell. Could you tell what happened on that play?
I could not tell. My eyes, I was praying too much. I saw the snap, and that's what I was really, you know, relying on because I know, you know, Shat was playing and then snapping, and I've done that before. I know how difficult that is, especially when you're not, you know, prepared to do it. But, you know, credit to him. It's, you know, people won't talk about what Tommy did and what Tyler Shatley did, but for a guy that's done it, it's a high-pressure situation. And when you're playing, it's even tougher, you know, to go in there and snap. So I can't say enough about them stepping up and being ready to go.
Congratulations and enjoy it.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
There's the head coach, Doug Marrone, with Jeff Lagerman outside the Jags locker room. The first word with the head coach each week, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Proud of the Jaguars running back, Fred Taylor, with us. From the two-minute mark forward, had everything you could want and not want in a football game, but the Jags somehow found a way, Fred. What a finish.
I mean, it was a great finish. Thankfully, we were on the positive end of it. I've never been involved in a game like that. And definitely a cardiac moment. I really don't know where to start. It's so much that took place, change of events. Maybe starting at the fake punt, that particular series right there. So a lot of weird stuff went on during the game. No real momentum, you know. No rhythm. And then you know, I guess right there was a perfect time to call that fake punt because yeah, I think both teams were a little bit off guard. And we had the ball in our possession. So it worked out beautifully on 4th and 7. Very gutsy. But
obviously we came away with the win, which is obviously the objective. And you know,
I think it was 11 passes in a row.
That's right.
Ended up in
it. Oh, you've been in the league for a while. You know, these type of games where you're just trying to grind them out, you know, just trying to find a way to get an opportunity to win the game. A lot of motion, you know, back and forth. I told the team is, you know, there were some good things, you know, that we did out there, and there's some things that we have to correct. You know, I've got to do a better job with us from a penalty standpoint, you know, making sure that we don't do things to put ourselves in jeopardy. I've got to do a better job of that. I thought that, you know, the defense, you know, at the end came up, you know, big. You know, they came up with the fumble, you know, that was going to put us in position. They came up, you know, with the stop, and then, you know, obviously in the overtime, you know, we moved the ball out, which was good. We were able to get the punt. We were a little concerned, obviously. We lost our snapper, you know, during the course of the game. I think that, you know, one of the things that I don't want to see overlooked, or I hope doesn't get overlooked, I should say, haven't done it before actually in a game, you know, is the ability for Tommy Bohannon to come in there and you know, snap for punts. You know, that's not an easy situation, especially when you're playing. And then, obviously, you know, Tyler Shatley, you know, going in there at you know, the most crucial time, you know, in the game. So, you know, credit to them for being ready for that. And like I said, we grinded one out. You know, the focus was, you know, the third quarter, to try to get off to a good start with a win. We were able to do that. And, you know, we'll make the corrections. And obviously we know there's a lot of them out there. And we'll move on.
How big of a step is it? You mentioned grinding out. Your first bunch of wins were all double digit. Does it say something for you guys to overcome a lot of adversity and still win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd be remiss to think that. As a coach, you don't want to, you know, put yourself in there. But, you know, we knew at halftime coming in it was going to be tight. You know, I think we did a good job early on. You know, we were able to get up and run the fake punt. And Corey did a hell of a job, you know, scoring on it. We weren't getting much going. And then, you know, then we missed the extra point. It wasn't the kicker's fault. They actually blocked it. They came up over and had penetration. So we've got to improve in that area. And then, you know, then it was, you know, missed tackles. You know, we got, you know, the first one, you know, was a missed tackle. The second one was a pick route. You know, I thought we got picked. And, you know, we gave up the two scores and, you know, battling back. And I think that's important. The one thing on the sideline, I thought that, you know, probably Ryan, what you said, there was a little bit of that, meaning that, hey, we're gonna grind this out. We're gonna find a way to win this game, you know. And you don't really know how a team's gonna react until you're put in that situation. But you know, you can see that all of a sudden it started to flip, and there was a lot of belief on the sideline that we were gonna go ahead and win the game. And it's a credit to the players, and you know, I give credit to San Diego. They're a hell of a football team.
Yeah, why was it so emotional, and what led to a couple taunting calls that I'm sure you want to correct?
Yeah, I haven't spoken to the players individually about it. I think, you know, the one, when Marquise, they actually picked up the flag down, you know, before regulation. You know, I thought he was, like, you know, I know the sun got in his eyes, you know, so I saw him pop up and put it up there, and the next thing I know, it was the flag. I thought it was for, you know, the unnecessary roughness, but they actually picked that up. So I missed that play, you know, because, you know, my mind went back to where the quarterback was, you know, which it normally does after that. And then, you know, at the end of the game, you know, I addressed it with the team afterwards. You know, obviously this was, you know, we can't do that no matter what our emotions are. You know, it's the same with us as coaches. You know, we get emotional with, you know, whether it's officials or players not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, we've got to keep, you know, our focus on what's best for the team. And I addressed it, you know, in the post-game speech, I guess, or post-game talk or however you want to describe that. I don't know what that is.
What do you say in that situation? What do you tell the players to get those?
You know, again, I think the most important thing is to understand that you cannot hurt the team. You really can't. You know, and when you have that emotional, and I've learned this a long time ago for someone that's coached in this league, you know, 30-something years. And I remind myself, guys, every time I come up here, you know, if I want to say something, and the only person that's going to benefit is myself, I shouldn't say it. And I think it's the same thing. If I want to react to something, and the only person that reaction is going to benefit is myself, you know what I'm saying, but it's going to hurt your team, you can't do that. So, you know, I've got to do a better job. That comes to me. There's no doubt about it.
You find, Doug, you get an overtime win, and your fans are starting to get louder and louder. There's more and more energy coming in. I know you got a few home games coming up in December, although you have to take care of what's ahead of you first. But you've got a fan base that's just aching to blow this place up, and obviously this could be a distinct home field advantage for you as time goes on. The more you continue to build up some momentum here.
Well, I think first of all, I want to credit the people that are here that do give us the advantage, because I think they do a heck of a job. And I still go back to the same course that I took earlier on when I would get asked that question. I think that, you know, we have to go out and continue to play well and earn that right. And I really believe that. You know, if someone was to say, well, you know, I don't want to see those guys, you know, well, I just hope that they give this team, you know, an opportunity to come out and watch this team. And I think if they do, I think they'll be happy, you know, with the type of effort we have. So, you know, I think, you know, the people that are here are great, and, you know, we would love to have more. We really would. But we understand that, you know, it's on us, you know, to bring them here.
Alan Hearns crawling off the field to save you time there. How much does that symbolize?
Yeah, that's a rule that I get concerned about. You know, I really do. I think that, you know, it's something that obviously as a coach, I mean, you have to talk to the player. I struggle with that rule, Ryan. I do. You know, that's something that, you know, that I'd probably, when I get with Coach Coughlin and Dave Caldwell, you know, we have to look at, you know, because, you know, you tell the player, hey, if you can, you know, get off the field to save it. But again, someone like Allen, no matter what, you know, and I haven't heard exactly what it is, you know, you don't want to put a player in further jeopardy, you know what I'm saying, from an injury standpoint. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that we've hurt ourselves somewhere along the line where, you know, coaches, we try to, you know, use those rules in our favor, and it's something that, you know, is a difficult situation. But, you know, obviously, you know, I just want to say, if Allen was extremely hurt and could have hurt himself anymore, I'd take the timeout. I would, because I'm, you know, this game's hard enough to play as it is. But I appreciate, with him having the ability to do that, it did help the football team.
Doug, I realize that it was like a 3rd and 20-something when Blake threw his interception late in the fourth quarter, but there were still 3 timeouts left at that point. So how important was it just to relay to these guys, hey, take the timeout, we're going to get the ball back?
Well, I mean, I go right away to defense, you know, so – you know, obviously, I'm sure Blake would have wanted that one back. You know, maybe ran it. You know, saying, well, obviously there was no one open and it was forced. But, you know, so I say, okay, listen, we're going to use our timeouts. Get ready for when we get this ball back. Let it go. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm on to the defensive line for our defensive calls of who we're going to have in there and what's going on. So, you know, and then it was like, hey, if we stop them, get ready, what do we want to do punt-wise? What do we want to do for, you know, final plays? You know, how do we want to take our shots? Hey, where are we now with the snapper? There was a lot going on, you know what I'm saying, with that a lot of stuff going on that you normally don't have to deal with. You know, it's like we get the ball on the one, you know, before the penalty. You know, you're thinking, okay, wait a minute now. You know, we got Shad in there, and, you know, normally I'd go in and go ahead and kick it right then and there, you know, and I'm thinking, well, shoot, we might want to go goal line here. You know, so, I mean, those are things that really that are difficult. They come into play for me, but they're very difficult to prepare for, obviously.
From your perspective, what did they do to stop your running game?
They did a good job. I mean, they got after us up front. You know, we lost some battles up front. You know, they did a very good job. They're a good football team. They really are.
Fournette went a long time in the fourth quarter without playing. Was that just the personnel you wanted to use, pass pro?
No. He'll probably, you know, show up. Nothing crazy, but, you know, he was limping a little bit.
The way you look at your team is more of a defensive team where you hope that your offense is adequate enough to be able to pull out wins. Is that how you would define the 2017 Jags so far?
Well, this is how I talk to the players, okay? You know, we play the game as a team, so we know exactly what the responsibilities are for all 3 phases. And I'm a firm believer in that, and always have been. So we play as one. I think that, you know, for me, the label of this team, where how you want to play and what you want to do, that'll be decided at the end of the year. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, if I sit up here and say, hey, this is what we want to be, this is what we want to do, and we're not consistent with that on every given Sunday, you know, then people are going to turn around and go, oh, gosh, that's what they tried to do and they couldn't do it. You know, so, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, we're going to keep working and keep,
you know, working on ways to find us to win games, whatever it may be. And at the end of the year, we'll look back and say, okay, this is the identity of this football team when it comes down to, you know, offense, defense, you know, special teams. But, you know, it's not to sit up here and BS. I mean, obviously the strength of our team is defense, you know, and you know, I've been fortunate to be around it. And, you know, it would be ridiculous not to play to your strength. I think, you know, offensively we've done some really good things. I think things are coming along. And there's some things that we need to improve on, as well as defensively and obviously special teams. So, you know, we're just in the third quarter. You know, we really haven't, you know, accomplished, you know, a lot, you know, from our goal standpoint of what we want to do from a goal standpoint. And we know that we're in this grind right now, and this third quarter is extremely important, you know what I'm saying, to put us in position that we want to be in. But we can't look too far ahead, and we can't look, you know, from behind. And we just got to, you know, like the players, I tell them all the time, listen, you got to – I sit here, the players sit in this room, and I say, look, you know, hey, today is Wednesday. This is what we have to do on Wednesday. This is what we got to get done. Concentrate on Wednesday. Let's win Wednesday. Okay, if you don't win Wednesday, you don't win Thursday, you really don't have a chance to win on Sunday in this league.
Do you get a chance? Do you enjoy this? Do you have time to enjoy
it? I'm exhausted right now. Yeah, I'm shot. Like, I'm shot. You know, I always say the story is that, you know, when I first came up and I was an offensive line coach, I'm just living each play with those five players. You know what I mean? You know, if a receiver was to drop a ball, I'm focusing on those five. And then when you're the offensive coordinator, you're living with 11 guys out there, okay? And that's it. So I'll never forget my first time as a head coach. After the game was over, I said, holy cow, I'm exhausted, twice as exhausted as, you know, when I was a coordinator or a position coach. And I said, well, shit, you know, I'm going through every damn play, offense, defense, and special teams. I'm living and dying, you know, in every single play, you know, with every call that we have, and what's – sorry about that sponsor. But every play and call I have, you know what I mean? And so after the game's over, I am shot. I can tell you right now, I'm going in, I'm going to take a shower. We'll have the medical report later on, okay? I'm going to take the shower, all right? I'm going to call my wife, meet me at home, pick up some bologna and cheese. I'm going to go out the back way, all right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to some music. Don't listen to the NFL. Don't listen to scores or anything like that. Go home, pet my dogs because we won, all right? And then I'm just going to – yeah, it's not as fun as – you know, it's not like, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know.
Did you have any issue with reversing Gibson's call?
Excuse me?
Did you have an issue with them reversing Gibson's touchdown?
I mean, they said they pieced it together. I asked them on the field. I said, I was looking just like you were. So I was looking at it. You know, and they're into New York, and they're just saying, I'm like, well, it doesn't look like anything up there to me. You know, I'm trying to work it a little bit. You know, I'm like, hey, it's not, you know. But, you know, New York made the call, and they said they pieced some shots together, and that's what they told me. I can only tell you what they told me. Yes, sir.
Back on the fake last one, guys.
Did you see something on film during the week? Or that something that you had to get
for what?
On the fake pump.
Yeah, we always go in. You know, I'll always tell Joe, listen, I want to make sure, you know, we have a fake, you know, in all aspects of what we're doing. And, you know, we'll work on it. And if, you know, if I like it and it works during practice and it looks good and the odds are in our favor, we feel very comfortable with it. And the players that are doing it, I think you have to go ahead and run it. Because I think the worst thing you can do as a head coach is tell your players to practice it and never go ahead and call it, you know, especially, you know, when the situations arise that, you know, you've planned it for. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Doug, you pet your dogs when you don't win, don't you?
Excuse me?
You pet your dogs when you don't win.
No petting when we lose. I don't.
Pretty good. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's when they needed to. They came down to the very, you know, the one big play by Boye right there. I don't want to say the very end, but that was a huge play for them at perfect time on third down, 3rd and 9, I think. And they made it happen. And that return was amazing to get it down there in field goal position and set them up. So that ending was great. We got the win. But at the very end of the day, they'll go back and look at the tape after this settles in, and they'll say, all right, these are the things that we didn't do so great. This shouldn't even have even been a contest if we had done this, this, and this. A couple penalties that were just bonehead penalties.
Relieved?
Yeah, definitely relieved. You know, anytime you win, it's awesome. You know, it's incredible to be 6-3 and in this position. You know, but there's a lot of stuff we got to fix offensively. You know, we had a big touchdown on special teams by Corey and that squad, and defense bailed us out twice and gave us two opportunities late. I thought they played unbelievable all game, just like they have all season. So when you know they set us up, we got to be able to capitalize and score and put games away.
Did you tell early on they were going to bottle up the run game?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of that's a bit of Gus's MO, is put eight guys in the box as much as possible and make you throw it. You know, so we got to find ways to create running lanes for the backs. But I thought we had some good stuff down the field. I thought some wide receivers made some good plays getting open and making catches. You know, just got to obviously not turn the ball over, make those two throws, and be more consistent.
Of all the crazy, wacky games you've been a part of, where does this one rank?
That's up there for sure. Maybe the face mask to win the game, but that's incredible. You know, I think, I think it's something that's pretty cool because I think if that happens, you know, if any of those things happen, if half of those things happened 2 years ago, we fold and it's over. You know, so I think to have the type of guys in the locker room that we have now, the leadership, the guys to be able to overcome adversity, overcome mistakes, overcome turnovers, penalties, and do all that and still win a football game is pretty impressive.
That touchdown drive you had, you get it to 14, it was all passes. You took them down the field and saw a little extra motion from you maybe coming off. It was a good moment for you guys.
Yeah, I thought that was a big drive for us. You know, it was kind of, we were stagnant really until that point, and then kind of after as well. So we were able to get one drive. You know, give credit to them. I thought they did a good job defensively. They got some good players over there, and we're ready to go. You know, but we were able to get one drive, and we had some others rolling. You know, those two turnovers, two picks I threw, I can't throw those balls. So we got to, you know, take those away and we'll be all right.
Was it tough to refocus after the second interception?
You know, it sucks, and you sit there and you think about it, and you know, all you can think about is why would you throw that, and you want it back, and you know, a do-over, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody makes a play and we get a fumble, you know, and then somebody makes a play and we get a pick. So yeah, I mean, it's incredible what our defense is doing, what they've done all season long.
Like, you had running all day. Now, on that touchdown you had in the play action, how tempted were you to take off and run instead of hit Marquise in the end zone?
Yeah, you know, it was close. I thought about it a couple times. It would have been a race to the pylon, and, you know, there was, I think, somebody running with Keese, and, you know, anybody even with Marquise, he's probably going to pull away eventually. So it was just a matter of buying time and letting him get across because he was going to win eventually.
Did you see Hurns crawling off the field?
Yeah, I think it speaks to not only his toughness, but I think how smart of a football player he is. He was able to recognize the situation that we were in, you know, knowing that we had no timeouts, I think, at the moment, and that, you know, he had to get off the field. And then Jadon Mickens comes in and picks up, you know, a big catch and moves the chain. So, you know, I think Hurns, his toughness and, you know, his football IQ, you know, kind of never ceases to amaze me.
Could this be a breakthrough for this team to do a lot of poor things but still survive and grind one out?
I think so, for sure. I think, you know, kind of like we said, there's penalties, there's turnovers, there's all kinds of stuff that I think in years past this team has not been able to overcome. And, you know, I think that kind of shows the type of locker room and the type of team we have and how different it is. For those guys to pick me up after those turnovers and make some plays and get turnovers themselves, it's pretty awesome.
What's your reaction as a teammate when you get taunting penalties that really hurt?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I think you got to be situationally aware and kind of, you know, you know, I guess not when to do it and when not to. But I don't think, personally, I would never want to take any of those guys' emotion and passion away from how they play the football game. And sometimes stuff like that happens. You know, we got to be a little bit smarter in critical situations and stuff like that. But, you know, when those things happen, I love when those guys do that and get fired up and do things like that. We just got to be smart about it.
Like, I know you lost Westbrook earlier in the year, obviously, and Allen Robinson. What's it been like to you as a quarterback to try to not only overcome those losses, but try to piecemeal whatever offense that you can as this 2017
right.
season has unfolded?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. You know, like those two guys you said, anytime you're not playing with those two guys, you know, we've all seen what Allen Robinson is capable of doing. We've talked about it before. You know, he goes down. That's a lot of production that's lost. And Didi with his ability as well, not being out there. So I think it's a tribute to Nathaniel Hackett and what he's been able to do in the offensive staff schematically and scheming things up to get guys open. And then that room has taken, you know, it's taken it on themselves. And the running backs and tight ends have helped out as well. So it's been a group effort with those two guys not out there to be able to kind of keep the pass game rolling.
Much less the fact that you're 6-3. I mean,
right.
Despite what you had to go through a year ago,
yeah, no, definitely. It's you know, it's a group effort. It's, you know, it's their room, the wide receiver room, picking that slack up, the running backs making plays, tight ends making plays, and offensive line protecting. And then, you know, when we're not really clicking or rolling offensively, it's defense and special teams that are rolling and picking us up.
Good
Gus throw any curveballs at you?
Not a whole lot. You know, everything they did, you know, stuff that we've seen before. You know, they did some different things, set in the front, you know, away from Sadie's, which usually people don't do. You know, so it's just little things like that that we adjusted to.
How did you think Josh and Cam did today handling Bosa and Ingram?
Yeah, I think everybody knows how good those two guys are, you know, and their skills as pass rushers, and I thought we did a really good job. I thought Josh stepped up and played extremely well. I thought Cam, you know, did an unbelievable job, you know, kind of holding those two guys, you know, kind of keeping them at bay with the backs and tight ends helping on the outside, and then guys getting open and winning quick, you know, was kind of the key.
How does it feel to feel like this place is a real home field
advantage? You know, it's awesome. You know, it's something that hasn't always been that way in the past and something that we wanted to kind of bring back. You know, Coach Coughlin came up here and talked to us at the beginning of the season and talked about back when he was here, you know, the support and how the city was when, you know, they were rolling. So that's something that, you know, we talked about last week a little bit. We want to make sure that this is an advantage when we come play in Jacksonville in front of our fans. And, you know, they've been incredible, I thought, all day, like you said.
Thanks.
Opportunities. And by being big, we make a greater impact on our students and the world. Learn more at ucf.edu/big.
Get your game on with Konica Minolta. Let us reshape and revolutionize your workplace of the future with our innovative ideas and solutions. No matter what size your business is, we'll coach you to enhance your productivity and bottom line. Visit us at reshapework.com. Add Konica Minolta to your team for the most productive season ever.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse. You can score a medium Firehouse sub when you donate $5 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more on the Wednesday following the game, get a medium sub with a $5 donation to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs.
Surprises are good, except when it comes to your utility bill. With the My Budget program from JEA, it's in your power to eliminate the surprise of extreme bill fluctuations. My Budget averages your bills based on your past 12 months of usage, so you pay nearly the same amount every month. How shockingly nice is that? To learn more about My Budget or to enroll, visit JEA.com. JEA, building community, a budget smart community.
Jags fans, your favorite bag boys are back in town. Don't miss out on loads of fun when Jaguars players make appearances at select Publix locations on November 14th to help bag your groceries on behalf of Tide. The Jaguars know even amateur-level athletes can get a professional-level stink, so they want you to use Tide Pods after your big game. Come out to Publix in the St. John's Town Center and at Reedy Branch off Bay Meadows Road on November 14th and purchase Tide Pods. You'll get a Jaguars reusable grocery bag and meet some Jaguars players.
Jaguars post game continues. 2017 Jags over the Chargers in overtime to improve to a record of 6-3. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, the highlights from the game. Strap in and hang on. It's a wild one. Started early. Not much going either side offensively. So the Jags made something happen. It's a fake!
It's a fake punt. They snap it to Corey Grant. Corey's got the first down and more. To the 45, to the 40, 35 of the Chargers. To the 20, to the 15. Corey Grant, what a fake punt! He's going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars! Are you kidding me?
Computer faked me out, too. The Jags on the board. Extra point blocked. It's 6-0 Jaguars weaving through the defense there. Corey Grant goes 56 yards for the score. So the Jags had a 6-0 lead. Rivers, right before halftime, finds Eckler for a touchdown. Who? Eckler, an undrafted rookie.
Rivers in a shotgun. He drops the throw. Throws it out to the right side. Caught by Eckler. He is stays in bounds. He stayed along the right sideline. He did not run out of bounds. It's going to be a touchdown.
Unbelievable play to stay in bounds there. 28-yard score before the break. So 7-6 was the halftime score. The Chargers led at the halftime break. So the Jags go 3-and-out to open the second half. Here come the Chargers again right down the field. This time, Eckler again from 22 yards.
Rivers drops. Looks. Fires it out to the right side. Eckler's wide open. Inside the 15, inside the 10. Eckler dives for the pylon. That's going to be a touchdown.
This guy was a pest all day long today. The Jags couldn't figure him out. A little foreshadowing for what was to come a little later in the game. The Jags finally get back on the board. They had gone 3-and-out. They gave the ball up on downs at the 35-yard line. Their third drive of the half, finally in the end zone. Bortles to Lee, 6 yards.
Play fake. Blake rolls to the right. Looking, still looking. Fires into the end zone. That ball is caught for the touchdown. A touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Marquise Lee for the score.
It was the 11th consecutive pass on the 11-play drive to score the touchdown. Two-point conversion was good. It tied the game 14-14. Novak hit a 50-yarder for Los Angeles that made it 17-14. Then it got weird. At the two-minute mark, Boston intercepts Blake Bortles right after the break.
Blake looks. Now he looks like he wants to scramble. Now fires in the middle of the field. The ball's tipped, and it is picked off.
Intercepted right after the two-minute warning. The next play, the Jaguars' defense gets a takeaway.
Running play to the left side. They give it to Eckler. Ball is out. The ball came out. And the Jags are returning it. The Jags are returning it to Sean Gibson. Deshaun Gibson's going to run it into the end zone. Deshaun Gibson picked up the fumble and ran it back. And the Jags have taken the lead with 1:42 to play.
Not so fast on the review. They overturned it. The Jags did have the football, but only a couple of plays later, there was a taunting penalty on Lee in the end zone on what he thought was an interference call. That was negated, and defenseless receiver call, right. He thought it was. Mm-hmm. So he was dancing in front of the guy. The defenseless receiver call was picked up. The taunting was not. Back the Jags up. Next play after that, another pick.
They blitz. Blake drops. Looking. Fires toward the middle of the field, and that's going to be picked off. Threw it right to Boston, and that should be taunting as he runs out of bounds. Wow.
Terrible throw by Blake Bortles. Absolutely and terrible.
But the Jags still had all their timeouts at this point, so the Chargers go 3-and-out. The Jags are using timeouts to get some clock at least. They have it with just under a minute to go. They get the ball back. They move down the field. There's a roughing the passer on Bosa in this period. Mickens has a catch. Now with 3 seconds to go, Lambeau lines up from 34 yards to tie.
He missed an extra point earlier today. It is a 34-yarder from the right hash. The hold is down. Josh kicks it up, and the 34-yard field goal is good.
Tied it up, 17-17. We head to overtime. Jags won the toss, went 8 plays. They had a punt away. Rivers on defense goes down the field deep. Jaguars get another pick.
Rivers drops the throw against a 4-man rush. Fires deep downfield along the left sideline, and that ball is picked off by A.J. Boye. At the 40, he's running it back. At the 45-yard line of the Chargers. At the 35, the 30, the 20. A.J. Boye at the 10-yard line. Dives toward the end zone. He's going to get knocked out of bounds at about the 2-yard line of the Chargers.
Unbelievable return by Boye. Nearly won it there with a dive towards the end zone. There was a taunting call on Aaron Colvin after the play that moved him back, and it set up Lambeau. It ended up being from 30 yards away. Shatley the snapper, Nortman the holder, Lambeau on for the game winner.
Lambeau has not missed as a Jaguar. Brad gets it down. Lambeau kicks it up, and it is good. He didn't hit it very well. It barely got over, but it is good.
It's good. It's a game winner, partially blocked at the line. He had enough juice on it to get it over, and the Jags win 20-17, one of the wildest finishes we've seen around here in a long, long time. We'll come back with the Everbank Stats Check. We've got to pick the player of the game as well. Fred is going to be out of here a little bit early tonight.
Yeah.
That's okay. We've got plenty of time to get with you. Fred Taylor, Pride of the Jaguars running back. More with Mike Dempsey as well. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
It's fourth down and 10.
Hey, did you see DirecTV lets you watch all the games for $60 a month?
But it jumps to over $100 after 3 months.
What was that?
That's just a legal disclaimer.
And jumps again to over $150 after a year.
Well, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could cost you over $3,500 over 2 years.
At least it's the weekend.
It's Thursday.
Don't get caught off guard by DirecTV. Switch to Xfinity today. Compares DirecTV choice package as of 8/21/17. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like their coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
At Everbank, defined by performance isn't just a tagline. They live it. So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an Everbank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399-805.
With the Florida Lottery Game Day Cash Promotion, you could win an RV.
That's a 2018 Lazy Days Winnebago Motorhome.
Yep, and access to games.
Season tickets.
Yes, and cash.
Millions in cash prizes and over 200,000 in additional second chance prizes.
So download the Game Day Cash app to enter your Florida Lotto, Fantasy 5, and Fast Play tickets and get ready to win. Game Day Cash. It's your ticket.
Claim it.
Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Jags win in overtime 2017 over the Chargers. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Let's get into the Everbank stats check and start off with the team stats from today. The total net yardage, 398 to 322 in favor of the Jags. And this will be a little more with the overtime yardage, of course. First downs, 20 to 16 in favor of the Jaguars. Third downs, Jags were 5 of 18. Chargers, 3 of 15 on third down today. Rushing yardage, 135 to 87 in favor of the Jags. That includes the 56-yard fake punt for a touchdown early in this game. The passing net, 263 to 235 in favor of the Jaguars. Penalties, 7 for 77 for the Chargers. 9 penalties, 106 yards for the Jaguars today, and some key ones towards the end. 2 turnovers for each side, so even there. And time of possession, 35-01 for the Jags to lead the way today. So there you have it. Team stats, the penalties key, but they somehow found a way to overcome those in key situations of this football game and got it done, even with the 2 turnovers late after the 2-minute warning.
They win. We said there'd be no ugly victories this year, right?
Nope.
Just victories.
This
if
is
they
a win.
Win.
It's a W.
It's not the prettiest.
It's a W.
victory, but it is a W. Blake Bortles said he threw it 51 times. 42 of those coming in regulation.
Wow.
That was shocking, to be quite honest with you. Bortles, 28 of 51, 273. One touchdown with the 2 picks, was sacked 3 times, quarterback rating just over 60. Phillip Rivers, 21 out of 37, 235 with the 2 scores to Eckler, and was intercepted there by Boye, which probably played the game, and a quarterback rating of just over 82. Corey Grant led the way with that one rush on the fake punt for 56 yards for the Jags. Blake Bortles actually the second leading rusher. Obviously, Leonard Fournette struggled the most he's had in his NFL career. Didn't look 100% healthy, 17 carries for 33 yards for Leonard Fournette, and just 4 carries for 12 combined between T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory. Austin Eckler was the thorn in the Jags' side. Led the Chargers in rushing with 42 yards. Led them in receiving with 5 grabs for 77, including the 2 TDs. Allen Hurns led the way catching the ball for the Jags with 7 for 70. Keelan Cole, 3 for 61. Marquise Lee, caught 6 for 55, including a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Miles Jack, 8 solo stops on the day for 9 total tackles, along with Telvin Smith, led the way defensively for Jacksonville.
51 passing attempts for Blake Bortles today.
With all those guys active, you would have thought, I mean, 51, Fred, for him in a game that was never out of hand in either direction.
Right.
And even with Fournette banged up, you had a healthy Yeldon, you had a healthy Ivory, and they still felt like throwing the ball was the best route to success today.
Right, and it's tough to really challenge the play call. And I mean, they see certain things in the film room and feel like this is going to be their strength. And obviously you do have to make those adjustments throughout the course of the game, though. But just the sequences, I didn't sense any real momentum, but it was just everything was out of sync. You know, there were drives where they just passed the ball, and they really didn't lean on the run much today. The stats are a little bit skewed with that one fake punt in there in the run game, but still, they were just out of rhythm all the way across the board. I think the drive when Blake threw the first interception, then you're like, okay, you're going to run it and try and set it up and take a field goal or something. I don't know if that interception happened.
Or pick up 6 or 7 yards.
Right,
and
right.
Make it manageable, yeah.
So, but it was just a couple odd sequences throughout the day, and a lot of it led to, parts of those 51 attempts. So.
This whole game was odd, I think, today.
Yeah.
But the Jags come away on the winning end of it.
All
we'll
right.
Come back. We got one final segment with you, Fred.
Let's do
and
it.
We'll pick a player of the game. We'll get you out of here.
All right.
The Jags win it in overtime, 20-17 over the Chargers. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
At EverBank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hey fans, be there live to support the Jaguars at EverBank Field this season. Always buy your Jaguars tickets from our official ticketing partner, Ticketmaster, and the NFL Ticket Exchange. Only Ticketmaster has verified tickets that are 100% guaranteed to get you in every time. Other sellers can only guarantee they'll give you a refund if they sell you a fraudulent ticket. So go with a trusted source and our official partner and know you're going to the game.
The CSI Companies has been getting the people business right for more than 20 years in Jacksonville. CSI proudly opened their doors just as the Jaguars came to town, and they've been valuable business partners for some of Jacksonville's largest companies. Do you have a need for temporary help during a busy time period? Looking for a team of IT consultants for a special project? CSI can help. Call them at 800-582-0828 or go to thecsicompanies.com. Don't partner with just anyone. Partner with the CSI Companies, proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Postgame continues. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. 20-17, the final in overtime. Jags over the Chargers. Time now for the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game. I'll get a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half. It's a tough one today, fellas. I got news for you.
I got
a
real
tough one.
It's
go for
tough.
It.
Yeah.
Mine's not that difficult for me anyway, because I just think it was, play the game. Help! Well, I don't know if the Jags win the game without A.J. Boye's interception. And not just the interception, the run back inside the 5. You know, if he intercepts it and he gets tackled on the spot, it's almost like a punt for the Chargers. you know, I don't know at that point I trust the Jags offense to get him down into makeable field goal range, but didn't have to. A.J. Boye did it for himself, and it was a spectacular pick, too. I mean, it wasn't just one of those, Fred, that was just thrown right to him. So I'm going A.J. Boye all the way as my player of the game. JP, what do you say? Or does Fred want to go?
Fred, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, because JP really don't have to vote because it's over.
Is it over?
Yeah, it's over.
Lay down for Boye.
I mean, yeah, same thing. Boye, spectacular play. Wasn't a whole lot going on out there today, but he made the play when they needed it most. Throw in the four tackles just because, the one pass defense just because. But the big play was the one interception, getting it down to the one-yard line, setting the team up for the win. That's what it's about.
There you have it. A.J. Boye, the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game with a pick in overtime to set him up inside the 20-yard line for the game-winning field goal.
Is that the first game the Jags have not had a sack this year?
Defensively?
Yeah.
Maybe.
They
kind
of traded off a little bit. I was screaming for turnovers because it was, 2 weeks off? Yeah. They didn't have a turnover. They got two today.
They did.
But then they kind of traded the sacks in for the turnover.
They got two within the two-minute mark of the second half and in overtime.
Right.
So late ones today and key ones.
Yeah,
ones.
Of course, if Tashaun Gipson doesn't roll across a guy's ankle, he's got the player of the game wrapped up
easily.
As well, right?
Easily.
I mean, that was really – that probably was the play of the game because without that play, who knows, maybe San Diego's able to burn a little bit of clock. Even the Jags had some timeouts. Punt them back, pin them deep. You just never know what's going
to
happen.
And for the sake of just rubbing it in, and I do apologize in advance to the kid – the Austin Eckler kid, I mean, that's going to be a long flight. It's going to be a longer flight for him if he gets on the plane.
Why is Gordon not in the game then?
I don't know why. I mean, he's
was
such
he
a good
up?
Player.
There had to be something going on, right?
I don't know. It just seems the kid had the momentum and the rhythm. He was playing well and all that stuff. So
that's we may find out Melvin Gordon was banged up, but that's what I think it was.
But he came back in.
He came back in after.
He came back in and he played the entire game.
But when they were shutting down Gordon in the run game, and they're kind of losing track of Eckler. They put him in there, and even though you're right, if you're just going to run it into the middle of the line, you would think you'd go with Melvin Gordon there. Maybe they just wanted to give him, you know, that look that we've got multiple ways we can go with this.
I mean, the Eckler plays, the touchdowns were on pass plays too, though.
And they were I mean, that's what they were doing. I mean, the defense was doing such a great job, but they would go and just run him out to the flat, and he would just sit there and wait.
Yeah.
Just wait there, and they'll find a late low, you know, dump down right there. And he would catch it and make some happen, 4 or 5, 15 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns. But the big play was Malik forcing the fumble. The kid had 14 carries, 14 touches at that point for 119 yards. He has to be sick. You know, so I just want to rub that in a little bit.
You just did. You
know, on top of the world. And then
maybe he's the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. Eckler.
Yeah, he
of course.
Could be.
No, we won't do that. A.J. Boye. A.J. Boye gets
it. Get his address for the gift or whatever it is.
A.J. Boye with the interception in overtime to set up the game-winning field goal. He's the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. Fred, I know you got to run.
Yeah.
With the overtime and the flight and all that coming up. So
yeah, it crunched it in, man, but it's worth it. Definitely a good time.
Oh, look, if it goes, we can't plan on overtime for Fred Taylor, right? We've got a window. I mean,
can we get shot? Take the jet? There's got to be a jet out
there
somewhere,
there's
right?
There's not a helicopter right now waiting for
that in the budget?
I mean, there's different modes of transportation around. Helicopter, boats.
Is
we
that
everything.
In the budget? I mean, where's Tony? Tony, come on. I need you.
Fred, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, boss.
See you, buddy.
Next
Fred
time.
Taylor, pride of the Jaguars, running back. We'll have the Baptist Health Injury Report when we return. Final score in overtime, 2017. Jags over the Chargers on Jaguars Radio.
Every legend starts somewhere. Your legend starts with FanDuel. On FanDuel, there's a fantasy football contest for every fan. Enter for as little as $1 or play for a share of $1 million. And building your team is simple. Pick any player you want, just stay under the salary cap. Start your legend today and try FanDuel for free with no deposit required. To claim your free contest and play for a share of $10,000, go to FanDuel.com and use promo code SPOTS. That's FanDuel.com, code SPOTS. Void where prohibited.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hey, Jaguars fans, you ready to score McDonald's favorites this season? Download and register the McDonald's app. Cheer on our Jaguars, get great deals. The Jaguars' final score gets you a McDonald's favorite. 10 points, buy a premium dessert, get one free. 20 points, buy a Big Mac, get one free. And 30 points, buy a signature crafted recipe sandwich, get one free. It's good to be a Jaguars fan. Price of required purchase posted on menu board. Valid through October 1st at participating McDonald's.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
How do you become the official truck of the NFL? You make it tough with high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy. You make it smart with Pro Trailer Backup Assist. You make it for work. And the weekend, Ford F-Series, making tough jobs easier year after year. That's how you become America's best-selling truck 40 years straight. Score one at your local Ford dealer.
Who is the Jaguars MVP? At Mellow Mushroom, it all depends on their favorite ingredients. This season, six Jaguar stars will customize their own specialty pizza to be featured on the menu at Mellow Mushroom locations in Jacksonville. A percentage of each pizza sold will benefit a charity of the player's choice. Allen Robinson and Alan Hearns pizzas are now available. Which Jaguar will create the most valuable pizza? Visit Mellow Mushroom this season and vote with your taste buds for who you think is the winner. Go to mellowmushroom.com for locations near you.
Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor is out of here to catch a flight. The overtime got him. Jags win it 20-17 over the Chargers in overtime. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Well, Matt Overton, the long snapper, left the game. It looked like an arm injury. He was kind of holding that arm off to the side. He did tweet just a moment ago after the game here that he watched the rest of the game from the training room. It sucked. But what made it better was seeing my boys Shatley and Bohannon execute pressure snaps to win the game. I love this team, proud of you boys. I'll face whatever comes head on. God's got it. So hashtag win today. So there you go. Matt Overton. Very rare that you lose the long snapper in the midst of a football game, but in coverage on punt, he was injured. So.
Good ones don't grow on trees. That's two the Jags have lost this year. Yeah. So, you know, we don't know the extent of Matt Overton, but it seems like he – thinking it might be a little bit more significant than just missing the rest of this game today.
From the sounds of that. And then, as you heard Marcel Darius discuss with Jeff Loggeman earlier in the locker room, Alan Hearns crawling off the field with the clock moving. They can't afford the 10-second runoff. He's got to get off the field. He gets off the field. We'll see the extent of that moving ahead after a low hit. Looked bad, but he found a way off the field. Man, what a mindset for Alan Hearns. Toughest guy pound for pound in the locker
room. If he couldn't crawl, he would have rolled. I mean, he would have, right? He was close enough. He was going to get on that sideline somehow or other, and he got the job done. Like this team's been very fortunate, JP, as we've remarked many times, to not have many significant injuries today without Jeremy Parnell. Let's not forget that, right? I mean, especially against his pass rush.
And Omame left at halftime.
That's
and
right.
Shatley played left guard.
So, you know, the linemen are showing that they've got some quality depth in that unit as well. And, you know, you got to pick the next guy. I mean, the whole next man up thing is a little curious to me because the next man up's not as good as the first man typically. That's why he's the next man, right? There's nothing you can do about it at that point. And the rallying cry, I mean, clearly they didn't want Bohannon and Shatley long snapping, but the guys got the job done. That's the important thing.
No doubt. So those are the two key ones today. The Fournette, this doesn't look 100%. You know, he had a little hesitation.
Today. He had the one where he caught that swing pass late in the ball game. And he hightailed it right to the sideline, right? And that's one where you know he's going to square his shoulders, try to get upfield, make a big play. So I don't know if it's the ankle from what, you know, he's been practicing in full, hasn't been missing practice. So hard to say. Hopefully we'll learn more about it this week.
Another special teams issue, Aurelius Ben left the game with a knee injury early in the game. He's the special teams captain, a guy that they rely on a lot in really all four core areas.
Absolutely. I mean, and these are guys that are easily overlooked, you know, as you talk about the team throughout the course of the week and just think about matchups. You don't think about special teams as much as offense and defense. You certainly don't think about things like gunners and long snappers. Think more about your kicker and your punter and your return guys than anything. So we'll see. Hopefully it won't be a long-term issue with him, but, you know, you're going to face injuries throughout the course of an NFL season. As we said, Jags have been lucky up until this point, so let's hope that that continues.
We'll come back with our final thoughts for the network. Also, if you're on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, the school board show is right around the corner. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hey Jags fans, this season it could be you that takes the field. Be there when the Jags hit Everbank Field on game day through the Everbank Take the Field sweepstakes. For each home game, one lucky fan will win two club tickets and pregame sideline access to be on the field as the Jags are introduced. To enter and for official rules, visit everbank.com/takethefield today. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 12/5/17. For official rules and complete details, visit everbank.com/takethefield. Sponsor Everbank, a division of TIAA FSB.
With the Florida Lottery Game Day Cash Promotion, you could win an RV.
That's a 2018 Lazy Days Winnebago Motorhome.
Yup, and access to games.
Season tickets.
Yes, and cash.
Millions in cash prizes and over 200,000 in additional second chance prizes.
So download the Game Day Cash app to enter your Florida Lotto, Fantasy 5, and Fast Play tickets and get ready to win. Game Day Cash. It's your ticket.
Claim it.
Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Call Insurance Office of America today. 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, 20-17. The final, Jags over the Chargers in overtime to improve a record of 6-3. Titans won today. They're 6-3 as well.
Yeah, who cares?
Here we go. It's going to be a scoreboard watching event, handling your own business at the same time.
You know, we were watching all day, right, because the Titans were behind a good portion of the game. We were rooting for the Colts because the Steelers are the bigger threat in the AFC. Record-wise, so both Pittsburgh and Tennessee pulled out victories today. But, you know, you felt right at the end, like, gut punch. Like, man, they pulled out games that they weren't sure they were going to win. And so the Jags are finding a way to lose this game. But before the sequence of events that led to the victory in that final 2 minutes. So, in the end, you know, no harm, no foul. I mentioned this to Fred off the air earlier, JP. You know, you talk about, well, this is ugly. I'm not impressed. It's 20-17, you win the game, right? You kicked the butts of the Colts. You kicked the butts of the Bengals. Those are the same two teams that just went down to the wire with Tennessee and Pittsburgh, right? So every win's a good win, and every opponent is capable of beating you. It just, that's the way it is in the National Football League. So no apologies, 6-3, and move on to Arizona.
Week-to-week league. In fact, actually moving on to Cleveland.
The Browns are next.
I
was just going to skip the Browns. No. Even the Browns, by the way,
right?
Beat you. All right, they're up big early on Detroit. We're tied 24-24 pretty late in the second half before letting it get away from them. So you're right.
38-24 Lions beat the Browns today. Browns are now 0-9, so the Jags are heading to Cleveland next week. A 1 o'clock kickoff. Got to go win. Obviously, got
to
go win
gotta
this
win.
Game.
You have to win this. You can't lose to a team that hasn't won a game yet. This is a must-win from that perspective. Right?
Don't take them lightly. It's an NFL football game.
This is one that everyone in the division is going to look and say, we're going to get that W, right? Because the AFC South plays the
That's nice, but you,
AFC
get it, you better go get that
you
better, W.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, because all the rest of them are probably going to get theirs. You can't lose this one next week. So, you know, we'll worry about it. Let's enjoy this one for 24 hours. I'm ready for the 24-hour rule for myself.
Are you really?
You know, yeah, I am, actually. Usually I'm ready to look ahead, man. I'm exhausted after that. Final 12 minutes or so.
I know Jaguar fans everywhere had the same type of emotional swings in the last 2 minutes of the game and in overtime that we had in this room, because it was quite a scene in here just watching it on the television
screen.
I just
had a few choice
words in the studio.
Time to time.
Yeah.
You know?
I had more hair before the game.
Had some swings. Not much, though.
Very little.
Had some emotional swings both ways. And in the end, you know, all. How many times have we done this post-game show, JP, in the last few years where all these things went wrong and they still had a chance to win the game? And if they had just had a chance, if they had just won those games, you'd say, you know what? Winning covers up a lot of mistakes. And it doesn't mean you don't have to correct those mistakes, but you correct them in the environment of, you know, we got away with it and we hung tough. Marcel Darius obviously impressed with his new teammates' resilience and stick-to-itiveness. And you heard that in the post-game as well.
For those in our flagship station here in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, the scoreboard show is next. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1. The Jags Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Director of Broadcasting is Patrick Cavanaugh. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers, and Ashlyn Sullivan directs the show for Jaguars.com. For Jeff Loggeman, Fred Taylor, and Mike Dempsey, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score: an overtime win for the Jags, 20-17 over the Chargers on the Jaguars Radio Network.